Yep.
Okay. I'm so thankful to be here. I love your pastor. I love this assembly. It's a miracle of God's grace that any of us are here. As Brother Tom was saying, I thank the Lord, and I tell the people often, don't just assume that Katie will be here next week. Brother Henry wrote a letter to Brother Scott, and Brother Scott allowed me to read it. And Brother Henry related that. He said, as a general rule, he said, most long pastorates, and he put 50 plus years. He said, after that pastor, he said, the Lord is pleased to remove the candlestick. And he said, Katie may be the exception. Mm-hmm. And my heart just, you know. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Micah. Find the book of Jonah. Micah's next. Book of Micah, chapter 7. I pray the Lord bless the services tonight. I was looking over my notes, and I want to actually preach out of the verse 18, 19, 20. But I'm going to look at a few of the verses leading up to that in chapter 7. And I was going over my notes, and I was thinking, Bob, thank you, Lord, help me. Lord, give me a heart to believe this. You know, that's a request for me. Lord, give me a heart to believe this. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. I want to know Him. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He knew Him. And he said, oh, that I might know Him. You know, I think heard Brother Henry say the other day in a message preaching, and he said, the older I get, he said, the more I realize I don't know. Boy, that's true. That's honesty, isn't it? You know, you don't want to, people, they don't want to admit that, you know. Well, I do. I'll just be honest with you. How little I know, but oh, what I know. Lord, teach me afresh. Micah chapter 7. Now I'm going to read a few verses leading up to that 18th, 19th, 20th verse. But this chapter actually begins with the prophets expounding the great grief that he saw. He was grieved about what he was looking at, beholding around him in his environment. Look at verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Good man has perished out of the earth. There's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hurt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. This prophet is just bearing his heart. And he looks around and he says, what's going on here? What's going on? I mean, everywhere you look, everywhere you hear, it's just so much disrespect, so much animosity and disrespect before God. Then he declares what he's going to do for relief to his soul. Look at verse 7. He says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's some confidence. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to call on Him. I'm going to ask for some help. Lord, help me. Oh, You are the God of my salvation. And then he comforts himself and the church with his only hope. Look at verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, and I know I will, I stumble. Oh, the presence of sin that just so, you know, just... Oh, wretched man, the Apostle Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Job said, I loathe myself. I hate what I see in me. I try to think a respectful thought, and I was telling the folks at Katie the other day. I try to pray. You know, I want to think on that verse when you enter into your closet. You know, go into that place that's secret, and the God the Father that seeth in secret. And I want to pray. I want to go. When you pray. And I find myself just wandering, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, if you marked iniquity, who could stand? That this is what he says. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And with his heart refreshed, he cries unto the Lord, Micah does, for help and comfort. Look at verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. And then this chapter ends with these verses that I'd like to deal with Micah's praise, and his admiration to the Lord for pardoning mercy, for grace, sustaining grace, keeping grace, preserving grace, for the Lord's faithfulness to His promises to His people. He says in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Here is the great statement of faith. Who is a God like unto thee? Exodus 15:11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is? Here's the answer. Nobody. None. Who is? Nobody but you, Lord. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me, there is no God Who's like unto you? Nobody. And concerning Him who alone is God, what does the Holy Spirit set forth in Micah 7:18 that this one God does? There's nobody but you. Nobody but you. What does He alone do? Here's what. He pardoneth iniquity. Now you know, we were in Crow a few weeks ago, Crow, West Virginia, just right outside of Beckley. And I was thinking on that truth set forth, He pardoneth iniquity. And I made this statement, I'd made it before, but it's true. I'll make it again. One of these days, if the Lord allows us to be aware that we're leaving this world, we're going to know it. If we're allowed. I mean, I was here when Brother Rob Locke was here, and it was on right here behind, before that wall was put in there. There was a pew right behind there, and I don't know, Brother Tom, what he knew. He may have been gone that quickly. I don't know. Lord took him just in a moment, but if I'm aware that I'm about to leave this world, what would a believer want to know? What would a believer want to know? Tell me one more time. You tell me, because I'm getting ready to leave this world, and I'm going to leave this world with nothing. Everything worldly is going to be right here too. Tell me one more time. Tell me again, in that day especially, tell me how God put away my sin. Tell me one more time. And Lord, as I hear this, Lord, teach me this afresh. I need to hear this one more time. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? You know, by that statement right there, you know what I know? I know, number one, that in myself, I'm guilty. Because for me to have my iniquity pardoned, that means I was born in sin. I was ruined in the fall. But that those two little words, pardoneth iniquity, lifts it away. Pardon. Put it away. Satisfied. According to our Lord's death, substitutionary death at Calvary. This is what the Scripture says He's done. Now this is a miracle. The miracle of God's grace. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Now He was made sin. And all of the attempts that we might have to set forth the meaning of that, we'll never do it. Not in this world. I'll never perceive. I know what the Word said. I know what it says. He was made sin. He was made sin. I know that. And being made sin, the Scripture sets forth, He's borne our griefs. Now that's a miracle of God's grace. You can't do that for me, Tom. Yeah, I mean, you can be sympathetic with me, and you know, but there's no way that I can transfer, and that you would truly be a true substitute and actually be made guilty in my place. You can't do it. Only God can do it. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And how has He lifted the debt of my sin? He made Him sin for us who knew no sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit sprinkling God's people with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they hear the glorious preaching of the gospel. And God Almighty teaches them by giving them faith to believe, gives them a new heart. I was talking to someone the other day. We were talking about the belief. And you know, when you look up the word belief, the devils believe and they tremble. And look up that word belief. And then look up the word, what must I do to be saved? And Apostle Paul says, and Silas, and they said, like they, I read that one day, they say like a simultaneous answer. He says, what must I do to believe? And they said, you know, believe on the Lord. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You look up that word believe. The devils believe, and what must I do? Believe. You know what? Same word. Same word. Same word. What's the difference? Devils, they have a knowledge. There's belief is having a knowledge. There's a belief. There's a knowledge. When that demoniac came to the Lord Jesus there in the Gadarenes, you know, he addressed the Lord Jesus as the Lord. He addressed Him. He knew who He was. So He knew who He was. Then He asked Him a question. Art Thou come, you know, to torment us before our time? You're going to pour out wrath before our time. They knew that He was God Almighty, all-powerful. He knew that He was the judge. But you know what? They didn't have a heart for Him. They didn't have a heart to trust Him, love Him. They didn't have faith. You know, there were some that heard the same thing Paul said we heard, but not being mixed with faith. There's a knowledge. I told this person, I said, I understand. I believe in communism. I believe that there's a such thing as communism. I believe that. I don't have a heart for it. I'm a capitalist. I'm a capitalist. I don't believe. They believe, they know, but they have no heart for Christ. Here the Spirit of God gives God's people faith to believe. Trust, new heart. Trust Him. They hear the preaching of the gospel. And the Spirit of God teaches them, grants faith to believe. They trust, they come to Christ. Call upon Him for mercy, who's already shown them mercy. Life is there. When we call, believe me, we call because He's given us life. We didn't call in order to get life. Who is a God like unto thee that can lift the guilt of sin from a sinner and make His Son? He, the Father, hath made Him. Who can do that but God? Who is a God like unto thee? And passeth by, covers the transgression of the remnant of His people. I know from that passage, that part of it, that God has a people. I know that I'm guilty because He pardons iniquity. I know He's a God that pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage. He's got a heritage. He's got a people. He's got a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are His chosen. I love election. I love the truth of election. If the Lord had not left us a small seed, a remnant, we'd all been there like Sodom and Gomorrah. God has chosen to show mercy. He has a people that He's everlastingly loved. Oh, here's the grand question. Why'd He love them? Here's the grand answer. He chose to. He did it according to His will. chose to show mercy. Here's the miracle of God's grace to me, that He'd show mercy to me. I mean, I'm serious when I say that. That God would show mercy to me. I'm telling you, now all of us are here. We all know what I'm about to say is so. We live in the midst of people all around us that have no heart. No heart for Christ. Why do we have heart for Christ? Because He chose to show mercy. He passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. Why? Because He looked down in eternity and saw that they would choose Him? No. Oh, He looked down. He looked down. I love this. You know, I hear that. You know, as soon as somebody starts telling me that, Tom, you know where I'm going. Oh, Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Yeah, I tell them, I said, yeah, the Lord looked. He looked all right. Psalm 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And here's the conclusion. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. Who is a God like unto thee that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? All of His bride. All of His church. That's last night I was going through Ephesians, and I was we were looking in the last few verses of chapter 1 of Ephesians, and it was talking about the church, which is His body. And you know, we actually, when we talk about the church, here's the church down in Pikeville. That's how I refer to, you know, the church down in Pikeville, the church at Todd's Road, church at Katy. There's a local assembly. And then there's the universal. There's the universal church. You know, now there's a big difference within this local body. Here, there, Danville, you know, College Grove, wherever. It's made up of those within it that there's some in it that are believers. But there's always some that are tares. Now the Lord set that truth forth. There's tares among the wheat. That the wheat might be made manifest. You know that. Okay. Well, so in every local assembly, there's some that they're there and but they're not the Lord's. But in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's got a universal church of which all of God's elect are truly members of that church. Who is a God like unto thee that concerning them, God's elect, all their iniquity is pardoned? Their transgressions are passed over. They have been washed. Christ has borne their sins. All of them. All of the guilt of God's people put away. Every one of them been chosen. Every one of them coming to Christ. All of them are going to be saved. All of His heritage according to the election of grace. Here in this world. But they're not of it. They're warring with sin within, but mercifully, the Lord has passed by their transgressions. He takes no notice of it in wrath. Why? He dealt with His Son on their behalf. Doesn't impute, doesn't charge them. Justice has been satisfied at Calvary. Mercifully, mercifully. He passes by. Who's a God like unto that? Oh, I read this verse back in Exodus. And you take the blood, and you kill the sacrifice, and you apply the blood to the doorpost. Get inside. Get inside. Don't come out. get inside. I'm going to pass through. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And I read that, and I'm just honest with you. This is what I say to me. Crying unto Him, Lord, pass by me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, teach me afresh. Lord, the faith that You gave me, Lord, to believe You yesterday or just a few minutes ago, I've got to have faith right now. Give me faith. Cometh. I told someone, you know, yesterday's air is gone. I got to have some more air right now. I can have some fresh air right now. I just breathed and just took a breath, but I just took another one. I got to have faith cometh. Lord, give me faith to believe You right now. He retaineth, the Scripture says, not His anger forever. Oh, and loving chastisements. And these chastisements, these trials, these corrections that we go through, they're grievous. I know that for the moment. That's what the apostle says. His hand of correction is grievous for right now. And we know that these corrections issue from mercy for our good. I told them the other day, I use illustrations that I think are real, really, really good. And I'm so thankful for Gabe. I thank the Lord raised him up and has given him a heart for Christ. Saved him. I believe the Lord's done something for him. Give him a heart. And called him to pastor and put him somewhere. And I'm so thankful. Listen. When he was growing up, you know, he and I had to do business often. And I'm telling you, he, bless his heart, there'd be times that I'd just, you know, think, Gabe, you know what's coming. Why? I think he was 18 years old, and he told me, he said, Dad, the best thing you ever did for me is whip me. And I said, well, you're probably right. You're probably right. But I'm telling you, these loving, chastening, kind trials that the Lord sends us for our good. Why does He not retain His anger forever? This is what Scripture says. Last part of verse 18, because He delighteth in mercy. Delights in mercy. Jeremiah, let me read this for you. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's life eternal. That's what the Lord said. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I'm the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. According to His Word, according to His revelation, He has revealed. Now, we wouldn't know this any other way except the Lord told us. How are we going to know this? This precious book right here, God's Word. This glorious gospel of Christ that the Lord has given to His people. Now, listen. How would we know that He delights in mercy except He tell us? How would I know that? He delighteth in mercy, takes pleasure being merciful and compassionate to whomsoever He will. That truth right there means absolutely nothing to an unbeliever. You tell an unbeliever that, they don't care. They don't care. Lord, that old sin that is within me, that old man that still doesn't care. There's an old man in me that still doesn't care, but there's a new man that cares. And these two men are contrary one to another. And that new man in me, that one that the Lord has passed by my transgression, pardoned my iniquity. That one that truly says, who's a God like unto thee? That man right there is thankful that the Lord delights in mercy. For those that have been made willing in the day of His power, oh, how great is His mercy. Almighty God has been merciful. I look at Luke 1:68. We talk about mercy as being, and it's an act of God's grace. But let me tell you something. When we speak of the mercy of God is a person. It's a person. Look at Luke 1:68-72. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. Now we know who that is. It's the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He hath visited, redeemed His people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which hath been since the world began. Here He was speaking, telling, teaching. This is the Lord of glory, the Lord God of Israel, that was speaking through His prophets. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant. To perform, to establish peace, the mercy of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Him. The Lord Christ, the mercy promised. There's no mercy except in Him. For God to be merciful, He's a just God. He's a just God. He's a Savior. This is a thought of unbelief. That God's justice can just be swept under the carpet. Well, just don't worry about it. God just forgives. Just walk down an aisle, He just forgives. No, He's a just God. Justice must be satisfied. The law must be honored. God's law must be honored. For God Almighty to show mercy, justice has got to be satisfied. The law has got to be honored. Righteousness must be established. For me, I have won. The Lord, our righteousness. He is the mercy of God to me. You look up the word mercy and all of the definitions of mercy. Here's the mercy of God, Christ Jesus. Mercy in Him alone. And here's the great promise to God's elect. Verse 19, He will turn again. You know, not in the sense when people talk about the Lord changing His mind. He doesn't turn as far as His purpose. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. But I know that though there's no variableness, shadow of turning with Him, providentially, He manifests what He has eternally purposed to do. Shows mercy. Shows mercy. He turns in the dealings the way we understand, the way we see, providentially manifest in time toward His people that which He has always done. He's always loved them. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Before the Lord was pleased to reveal Himself to me, I didn't know anything about the love of God. I didn't care anything about the love of God. But in time, Almighty God who speaks to His people, lovingly calls them, gives them a heart to come. They come made willing in the day of His power, teaches them. He will turn again. And I tell you, not only does He turn in His revealing to us what He's done for us. Turn me. Turn me. Jeremiah 31:18, Thou hast chastened me, and I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Now listen, only a believer is going to ask this. Turn me, and I shall be turned. Only a believer asks that. Unbeliever won't ask that. Turn me, and I shall be turned. For Thou art the Lord my God. He delights in mercy. He will have compassion. That's what it says. He will have compassion upon us. How has the Lord had compassion on us? Listen to this. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. I and you that know Him, you know what we need? I need a priest before God. I need a mediator. I need one to answer. I need one to make reconciliation for me. He will have compassion. That's what I need. Listen to Hebrews 2:16-18. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I tell you, I need one that has experienced what I have. I need a high priest and a mediator to stand. God Almighty, have compassion on me. He will have compassion. He will have compassion. He will have compassion. When somebody tells me something and I have experienced what they have, I've been through it. I had someone tell me something last night that they're going through. And Tom, I went through the same thing. I went through just exactly what they're going through. And they were telling me, and my heart just broke for them. But I knew as soon as they told me what it was, I thought, I said, well, the Lord's grace is sufficient. That's it. You know what? He will have compassion. I need one that knows my need by experience. Here's what, look, verse 18. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. I need one that knows where I am. He does. By experience. Made like unto His brethren. He will have compassion. For He has experienced. He's learned. Touched with the feeling of our infirmity. All points, the Scripture says. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is what I want to say as respectfully as I know how to say it. And I mean this respectfully. He's been there. He's been there. He knows. Made like unto His brethren. He will have compassion. That's what Scripture says. He will turn again. He'll have compassion. He will subdue our iniquities. Pardons. Takes away the dominion of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's still there. The presence of it's still there. The debt of it's been paid. But the power of it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. God's purpose. God's grace. Almighty God has promised He will subdue our iniquities. And I'll tell you this, one of these days, the very presence of them will be gone. and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know, the depth of His mercy, that which has been performed, wrought, accomplished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll remember them no more. He who never forgets said, I'll remember them no more. I know this, not against them, not against their people. Behind his back, where is that? The Scripture says, here's the beauty of it, thou wilt cast all their sins. How many of them? All of them. All of them. Into the depths of the sea. Oh, again, that Scripture that we just quoted a while ago, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And then in closing, he said, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. You know, that's a sweet thought. That's, you know, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. He wrestled that night. Jacob wrestled with the man. And the Lord, you know who it was. And the Lord who held on to Jacob. Jacob holding on to the Lord because the Lord held on to Jacob. And he said, let me go. And Jacob said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. That's what a believer says. You know, I can't let you go. No. Where would I go? Lord, if I don't have you, where would I go? To whom would I turn? Not unless you bless me. That, you know why he asked that? Lord gave my heart for that. Lord made that man willing in the day of God's power. That's why he asked that. What's your name? What is your name? Jacob. Supplanter. Huckster. Trickster. Manipulator. He said, no more. No more. Your name is Israel. You're a prince with God. Boy, that's mercy, isn't it? What was it in Jacob that the Lord would look and show mercy? What was it in Jacob? Thou wilt perform the truth. The truth of Christ, the truth of mercy. Thou wilt perform Christ, who is the truth, to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, according to promise, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Who is a God like unto thee, which pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. That's a good hope. That's a good hope. Lord, bless these words to our heart. For Christ's sake. Amen.